Hello and welcome to the podcast for the Organisational Behaviour Textbook. I'm Scott Lawley.
And I'm Daniel King.
And we're the authors of the textbook, and in this podcast we're having a look in a bit more depth at a few articles and a few issues that relate to some of the material that's in the textbook. So what are you looking at there, Daniel?
So we've probably got, or many of us have got, a smartwatch on our wrists that takes our heart rate or how many steps we've done or various other things like that. And wearable technology become a really big thing.
Yeah, so fitness trackers, that type of thing.
Exactly.
Fitbits.
Yeah, your whatever. GPS is on all the time, knows where you are. You monitor and track yourself. And often, if you go out running and things like that, you're also trying to monitor and track your own performance as well.
Yeah. So you can actually get an analysis of this, and you can get graphs that show you how you've changed over time, whether you've improved the number of steps, whether you've met a target or something. Yeah. So we're sort of performance managing ourselves in
exactly.
a way.
Exactly. Yeah. Might, you know, predict how fast you might run a half marathon or something along those lines.
So this is all fine. You know, this is what people do in their sort of private lives, in their leisure time and whatever. Well, how does this link to the workplace?
So companies are starting to think these are really good ideas. So Amazon's already got one like that. And there's this article that I'm looking at now then, which talks about phones and wearable technologies are ways of assessing worker performance. And particularly what they're not looking at is, you know, where somebody is or how many steps they've done, but their physical, emotional and behavioural well-being, and saying that through that type of monitoring data they can work out who are high and low performers as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting. It links in with some of the stuff that we talk about in chapter 4, you know, particularly some of the sort of newer automation technologies that are being used in the workplace. The person who's written a lot about this is someone called Phoebe Moore, who has developed this idea of the quantified self. So there's just more and more of what we do that can be measured. And if you can measure something, you can then control it and you can direct it. So one of the examples we gave was the sort of the patent that Amazon created for essentially sensors, and they give this thing called haptic feedback, where a slight vibration can actually tell someone working in front of a shelf to pick stuff which hand to move and where and that sort of thing. So you've got all of this plus this sort of monitoring of workers and their heart rates and that sort of thing. So basically companies can get a pretty sophisticated set of data about the workers and where they are and their movements, but also some of the sort of the underlying health and similar feelings that there are underlying that.
And they're also starting to do things now. They're taking all of the data from performance appraisals and sometimes even the recordings of those, doing machine learning, getting the triggers of then mapping that against people that leave or go off sick or stop performing well, and starting to build up algorithms and images of what are the type of things that people say when they are about to leave the organisation. It's not what they actually say, but the implied sort of language. And that's starting to create triggers in for managers. If people are saying things or starting to capture, say, well, this person now might leave the organisation, or this person is suddenly going to become less interested in their work as well.
Yeah. I mean, conversely, actually, rather than people, well, yeah, this does involve people leaving work, but also people looking for new jobs. But algorithms have been developed where they can actually look at what people are doing with their LinkedIn profiles, and if they're making certain changes, it suggests somebody who is perhaps about to start looking for a job or something like that. So, if people are headhunting for new people, they can look at it that way. But I mean, what's really interesting with this is it's not just what people enter as data onto profiles or say. It's almost bodily matter that's being measured. It's how much someone's heart beats, how much someone sweats, how rapidly someone's breathing or something like that. It's human matter becomes part of the data that is entering these data sets and being used to monitor and, you know, again, the machine learning takes place. So it's not just monitoring, but it's learning from that data in terms of how you set future targets and set the nature of work that's going on. Now, this might sound like something that's very modern and something that very much relates to the, like you say, the tracking technology that's really only quite recent in terms of being available to the workplace. But you can relate it back, if you went to chapter 3 in the textbook, to all of the work around time and motion studies, which was all very much about pinpointing where people are, how they're moving, where they're moving their hands or feet or whatever it is to do a job, and monitoring that and recording it so that you can then redesign the work to make it more efficient, and you can monitor the workers to see that they're keeping up to the standards that your sort of average or, you know, your highly prized worker would do. The only difference is there's now much more sophisticated technology to make that monitoring and performance measurement, you know, much more sophisticated and much more pervasive.
So how might an organisation use this type of data now then? What might they do with all of this?
Well, I mean, in some ways, I guess the possibilities are pretty much endless in a sense. Certainly, you know, with the example of the warehouse, you can use it to direct physical movement, so pretty much in the same way as Taylor did. But, you know, it's also various physical measurements when you're talking about a heart rate or something like that can belie the way that somebody is feeling emotionally in the workplace. So you actually almost, you know, it's a traditional sort of thing that we say in this field, that you can measure movements, but it's much more difficult to measure things like attitudes and that sort of thing. But perhaps here's a way to do it, to actually be able to start to get this measurement of how people are feeling, their emotions and that sort of thing.
So I met some people who worked for a company a few months ago, and they have got these now, and they're monitoring people in meetings. So what they're trying to do now is saying, well, actually, maybe if the meeting's getting too stressful and people seemingly calm on the outside but get agitated or upset, then maybe this has also got some positive benefits. So we can start saying, well, how can we design the meeting better so we don't get people so frustrated? So maybe that data could be used for more positive benefits.
Potentially. And I'd be really interested to see how this could feed into things like the requirement for emotional labour, which we talk about in the textbook. And again, this is something we know it's been quantified. Some of the examples we give, I mean, just the other day I was at a university cafe, and when you've left, as you're leaving the cafe, you're invited to push a button to say how you rated the service that day, you know, big smiley green face if you liked it, or a red frowning face if not. And these ideas of emotional labour, where you're meant to perform in a certain way, are more and more being quantified. I mean, another example is Uber drivers, where, you know, as a passenger, you instantly rate their performance. Again, that becomes part of the algorithm that ultimately, if you don't have the right customer satisfaction, you become what they call deactivated. You don't get given any more passengers. So in a sense, that builds into the system your requirement to smile, to be pleasant. You know, you get Uber drivers putting bottled water in and whatever just to chase that particular rating. So we can certainly see how these systems can encompass a quantification of emotional labour. But I wonder, when you can also get those measurements, if it could measure the stress of emotional labour. We know that emotional labour is stressful. We know that if you're having to smile when somebody has shouted at you in a shop, or smile when someone's been sick in the back of the taxi that you're taking them for a ride in, or something like that, that sort of adds to stress. So maybe the monitoring, again, if we're going to look at it doing something for the good, can actually help to understand the stress that emotional labour puts workers under.
And you can see something. I remember being an external examiner for a PhD, and I looked afterwards at the tracker on my watch, and during the exam, my heart rate was really high. The candidate left the room for about 10 minutes, and my heart rate dropped down, and the moment they walked back in, it went back up again. Now, on the outside, I didn't appear that stressed, but on the inside, you could see that felt a stressful situation. Yeah. So getting that data and understanding that might be good long-term as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you basically can view this in two ways. On the one hand, this data can be turned against workers to control them and to intensify their work and to set even more stringent targets that they have to meet. Or it could actually be used to understand some of the pressures that people face in work to then perhaps try and design work to alleviate that. I think in either way, what's really interesting is that we know, and we see this with Facebook and any other organisation that has data, that data is valuable to companies. It creates a lot of knowledge about the workers. And that knowledge that's being harvested is becoming, I guess, more and more invasive to the fact it's betraying just the signs of how the body is reacting to day-to-day situations in the workplace.
Yeah, well, we better end there. My watch just buzzed and I've been sitting down for an hour, so I've got to stand up and move now.
Right, we shall move on then.